Boost contains adult themes and language. Listener beware. Welcome to another episode of Boozed, where we get supernatural and shit-faced. I'm Camille.
And I'm Sydney.
How are you tonight, Camille?
I am doing rather well this evening.
Yeah? Yes.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know, I'm like in this weird state of like, I don't want to call it numbness.
Hmm.
But it's not quite ambivalent.
Do you feel like numbness is like objectively a bad thing, or is it like a subjective thing or an objective thing?
I'd have to remember the definitions for both of those.
So objective means like it's unbiased. It's middle of the road. Subjective means it applies to you in your case, and it might be different in my case. So.
Gotcha. I think objectively saying that you're numb to something is bad.
Okay.
So I don't necessarily think the word I'm looking for is numbness. I think I'm looking for...
What I wanted to ask was like, would you say, if you're saying numbness isn't your word, but if it was, would you say your numbness for you subjectively, is it a good or bad kind of numbness?
See, I can't even answer that, though, because it is subjective for me to think about my own numbness. Because if it could be like, oh, yeah, numbness meaning I'm going through an episode, which is bad. Or it could be like, well, there's little to nothing. Well, I can't say there's little to nothing going on in the world, but there's so little going on in my world personally. Which also isn't exactly true. I don't know. I don't think numb is the word I was looking for. I think the word is this weird sense of acceptance, perhaps.
You're at the end of the five stages of depression.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Like I've reached the end of the cycle.
Nice. How does it feel?
Unnatural.
Okay.
I don't know. It's one of those things. Like I'm in the middle of a big transition since I'm moving, and I have to kind of hyper focus on that, which I think is a good distraction from all the other bullshit that's happening in the world.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to reach this state of neutral, I feel like.
Have you told our listeners that you are moving yet? Or is this the first time you're bringing it up?
Oh, no, I haven't told them that I'm moving. Yes, I am moving to Atlanta, dear listeners. So I will be leaving the greatish state of Texas.
She's leaving the great state of Texas. She's leaving the great state of Sydney. And we will miss her dearly.
Okay, well, I'm not like dying. I'm just... Jesus. You want to give my eulogy while we're at it, Sid?
Thanks. I might write one. I'm gonna write
it. Yeah, we're gonna put that in the episode before I move.
That's a quick 300 word write up. I could do it.
Wait, only 300 words? I'm offended.
Oh.
Jeez. Whatever.
I can't gauge words. How long is that talking wise?
I feel like that's probably a good,
I didn't say 300 characters. I said words.
Okay, fine.
Jeez, I'm not going to tweet your eulogy.
You should. I want it broadcast on all social media. I want you to make the videos like you were just telling me you used to make videos about you being sick.
Now that I can't do.
I want a series of video eulogies from Sydney.
Day one without Kabil. It's been feeling cold. And sometimes it feels like I could still hear her voice.
And you're like, oh, wait, that's because the podcast is playing on my phone. Yes, well, it's me moving. It's not the end of the podcast. So please with the...
We'll still have episodes, everyone.
How are you doing, though?
I'm okay. I'm not going to say I'm at the end of the five stages. I might be at bargaining. at that bargaining part.
Yes, I should say we are recording this the day before Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
So bargaining feels like a good space for probably a lot of people.
I saw your pro-Thanksgiving tweet.
I don't like Thanksgiving erasure.
Indigenous Peoples. No, it's not Indigenous Peoples
Day. It's not Indigenous Peoples Day.
I am so sorry. Well, what do we call Thanksgiving then?
Okay, so here's how I explained it to someone not from America, right? Because they were asking, I think they were asking what like 4th of July was all about, like why people were so jazzed about 4th of July. And I was like, well, it's really just an excuse to like eat like barbecue, drink a bunch of beers, and watch some fireworks. Very few people still kind of relate it to this America, patriotism, our freedom from England. Like, who the fuck still celebrates like that? I've been to a few 4th of July parties, and other than it being in like a bullshit sarcastic way, no one is shouting, "Yay, America," at these parties. It's just, here's some ribs, here's some here's some potato salad, here's some ribs, here's a burger, get in the pool, let's go. Like, that's all it is. So that's what Thanksgiving is to me. Like, Thanksgiving, other than, like, kids in elementary school, who is really sitting down at their dinner table every Thanksgiving and being like, we would like to thank the colonizers who came and massacred millions of indigenous people so that we can celebrate this day. Like, if there is that person out there, they're an asshole and that's it. Me and my family, we cook a bunch of food. We sit around and say, like, we're thankful for each other and family. We don't mention America. We don't mention patriotism. It's another excuse to get together and eat a shit ton of food. And I am here for it. Therefore, I will not accept the erasure of Thanksgiving as it is a food holiday. The history behind it is all bullshit and go out the door. I don't care, but I don't celebrate that. I celebrate food and my grandma's pecan pie. So.
Okay.
That's why I don't accept Thanksgiving erasure. It's nothing to do with the actual history.
You can ask the history
is bullshit and it's horrible. I get that.
You ask your grandmother to just make you a pecan pie.
She complains like that pecans are too expensive.
Oh, well, you gotta go get her the pecans. You bring her.
Well,
the
I told her that, but like she always makes an excuse. So if like there's a reason, like a holiday for it, then I have more of a reason.
Yeah, space it out. You can't get the pecan pie, but like, you know, 3 times a year.
I disagree. You've not had her pecan pie.
No, I haven't, and I expect to have it someday soon. But now that you're bragging, because I love me some pecan pie, and if it's that good, now I have to formulate a plan to figure out how we're going to get her to make it more often.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I'm hoping. But yeah, be safe for Thanksgiving. It's not worth it, you know? I know you love your family. It's not worth it. Don't love your family to death.
This is true.
No?
As good of a food holiday it is. It is not worth getting the disease.
Go get yourself a Cornish hen if you've got to, okay? 2020 is not a turkey. It's a Cornish hen.
Our next episode will actually come out on Thanksgiving Day, so you can celebrate with us.
Double.
Yes. It'll be great.
Eat us.
The greatest Thanksgiving song.
So good.
Ever. That and Linda's song from Bob's Burgers.
Oh, yeah. Pass the turkey.
What are you drinking this evening, Sydney?
I'm drinking a rosé again tonight. I've had some red wine because it is getting colder, you know. It's been in the 60s, 70s these days, which is nice. I've been enjoying it. I'm glad the rain went away. But I'm still, like, in a white wine mood, you know. So I've been buying some rosé when I do get wine from Walgreens.
What happened to Nick's? Nick's isn't your supplier anymore?
No, I still go to Nick's. But, you know, if I'm trying to get something on a Sunday, then Nick's is closed. And also, you still can't buy alcohol until after 12 p.m.
Right.
In anywhere in Texas. So had to go to Walgreens. But I also, when I got that, I got some. There's a new Lay's chip flavor out there. I don't know if you guys know this.
Uh-oh.
Dill, Flamin' Hot Dill Pickle. Changed my life.
Okay.
Camille had a very weird facial reaction to that. But she doesn't understand, like, the flavor profile that I'm talking about right now. That's not her flavor profile, the heat. And she already said she likes bread and butter pickles, which is gross. So
love bread and butter pickles. So good.
So we can't expect her to know what I'm talking about in either of those instances. But I can't be trusted. It's delicious.
Okay.
Very
good. I think that's something my sister would really like.
I think she would. Tell her to try it.
I will.
And just for your knowledge, it's not that hot. It's really not that hot. It's more tangy, tart, and it has a little, as she would say, it has a little kick.
Okay.
Just a little kick.
Gotcha. So what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking rosé. I'm drinking a rosé from Walgreens. I think it said it was from France. It was only $12, and it was pretty good.
All right.
What are you drinking tonight?
I am a little out of my usual. I'm drinking a red wine.
Oh.
That would sound better if I could roll an R. I'm drinking a red wine. It's cupcake red velvet, so it's like a sweeter red wine.
Are you drinking like a dessert wine?
Yeah, I guess so. I like sweet wine. I don't like regular wines. So it's supposed to have like hints of mocha and cherry and vanilla.
That is just hints of sugar and more sugar.
Mm.
I'm going to have to take you one tasting one day so we can widen that flavor profile for wines.
I'm not going to like it.
They get you into some dry Rieslings and they get you into some Cabernet Sauvignon.
I like Rieslings.
Yeah, you like the sweet ones. I'm going to get you into the dry ones.
Nothing about that sounds appealing.
If you
dry Riesling,
okay, they train you to do this, okay? You get the cheese, it's about the glass, it's about the atmosphere. You know, when we were living in the regular world, these things were important.
Here's the thing. I am not going to go through all those steps at home. So if it doesn't taste good out of a mason jar out of my house, I don't want it.
You drink wine out of a mason jar?
I drink wine out of whatever cup I grab. I have wine glasses and I have both stemmed and stemless, like those wine tumblers. But usually I just drink whatever alcohol I'm drinking out of a mason jar. So.
Okay. Okay.
If it's not good out of the bottle, I don't have the time.
All right. I'll admit to something, listeners. I'm a little bit of a fancy wine bitch. And I, you know, that's why I'm so sad that all my wine glasses are broken because I'm still drinking out of this little This is probably for the wine. You can't see it, but it's a very tiny. It's the tiniest wine glass ever for scale. You know, for Camille,
it's like the size of your hand.
It is the size of my hand, and my hands are very small. So
I'm thinking out of a regular wine glass tonight.
You are.
So, and I did good.
And you're probably getting more of whatever those notes were you were talking about, cocoa and, you know, that I, you know.
Mocha, thank you.
It's just like they just poured some red wine over a cupcake and put it in the bottle. That's what they did.
It is called red velvet, and I am okay with that.
I don't like red velvet cake, and I don't want to be able to put it in wine. What kind of fake flavor is that anyway?
Get out of here.
See, that's another argument we got to have. Then.
You can leave.
That's fake chocolate. Just eat chocolate.
This podcast is over. That's it. This is done.
You're done.
Thank you for listening to the last episode of Booze. Wow.
And it all came to an end because of alcohol.
We made it a year. It was a good run.
Hello, lovelies. We are
the Ladies of Strange.
I'm Ashley.
I'm Tiffany.
And I'm Rebecca.
Have you ever thought about what to do with your body after you've shuffled off this mortal coil?
Or wondered if aliens are hiding in the tails of comets waiting to take us away?
Or if there's any scientific basis to the Ouija board?
Well, don't risk your search history and join us as we discuss
the history, mystery, and theory
of all things questionable, odd, and eerie.
New episodes are released every Thursday
and can be found wherever you get podcasts.
More info about the show, including show notes and links to our social media, can be found at our website, theladiesestrange.com.
Keep it strange, lovelies.
You have our story for this evening, is that correct? Because I don't have a story for this evening, so I hope you do.
I have a story for this evening. It's. I feel like we, as far as the recordings go, we've been kind of on a theme of hauntings, houses in particular. And this is sort of a haunted house story, but it's really a plantation. Is like the entirety of the land was haunted. So Tonight I'm going to be talking about the legends and tellings and ghost stories of Myrtle's Plantation. Not unlike the Whaley House, which you talked about in your last episode. It has been said to be one of the most haunted houses in America. I think you said that about the Whaley House.
Yeah.
So it's you know, the nature of a plantation, you can already sort of gather what, you know, what would be entailed there, what happened there. And this one in particular, it was in New Orleans. It's in Louisiana. I believe it's in New Orleans. And it was said to have been built on an Indian burial ground. So I just want to, plantation on an Indian burial ground.
That's a double whammy.
It's a double whammy. And it's... I mean, I don't know what else to say. It's a double whammy. It's a terrible idea. Even for then, I would think. No. But, so, this house was owned at the time of, I'm going to tell you a couple of other stories about the house, and then I'm going to go to the most retold legend of the Myrtle's Plantation. So, like I said, it's said to be built on Indian burial grounds. There's been tellings of at least 10 hauntings at this particular plantation. Union soldiers from during the Civil War were said to have gone into the house to, like, you know, they're looking for supplies and things like that. And three of them were killed. And the legend is that some of the blood is still smeared on one of the doors.
Oh.
In the house. Yeah. There's been historical records of people think it's multiple killings, but the only one on record is for one guy that took place at the house. They did a Unsolved Mysteries episode about Ooh. This place. Yes. And all of their equipment start to act up. Technical difficulties and, like, could barely get...
What mystery were they trying to solve?
It's a segment about the hauntings of the plantation.
Oh, okay.
And it might tie into, I don't know if it was exactly the main story of this house, like the main haunting of this house, but yeah, Unsolved Mysteries has done segments on it, Ghost Hunters, and both of them have claimed, yeah, technical difficulties. The cameras stopped working. Probably the audio equipment went down. And yeah, I mean, this is something that I would assume happens on those shows a lot. But
it's all real.
Yeah. The main legend of the Myrtle's Mansion is a story about a slave girl named Chloe. And she was, you know, she was one of many slaves of the owners of the mansion at the time, Clark and Sarah Woodruff.
So, boo.
Yeah, insert boo sound okay, for both of them. So, there are two different understandings of Chloe's, like, life on the plantation and why it would have come to her after her death haunting. One of them was that Clark Woodruff had, you know, as they do and did, forced her. They some of these retellings keep using the word coerced. I just want to be very clear. When you're a slave, there is no coercion. It's force. He forced her to be his mistress. And in the throes of their affair, putting that in quotes, it said that his wife, Sarah, caught them, basically. And of course, you know, she's taking it out on the slave.
Right, right.
And she cut off Chloe's ear. They had, you know, she had her ear cut off, one of her ears cut off. Another telling is that Chloe used to be kind of inquisitive and kind of mischievous, and she would listen in on Clark Woodruff's business dealings, and he caught her doing that, and it's the same story either way. And in my thinking is that it was probably both. There's no reason to believe, like, both of these things would not have been true either way. The torture was taken out on her, so she's, and good for her, is gonna exert revenge. So she,
we love to see it.
Oh, we love some slave revenge. Okay. She supposedly baked a cake and extracted some boiled reduced oleander leaves.
Ooh.
And put it in the cake. Right? Extremely mm-hmm. poisonous, if you guys don't know that. It's a very poisonous herb leaf. And she was going to serve it to Clark Woodruff, I believe. But somehow Sarah and their kids ate it. And they died.
Mm.
It killed the rest of the family, but not Clark. And I believe the story goes that he somehow found this out because, and I hate to inform you guys of this, but it was because of another slave that was trying to, you know, and no fault of their own. You think about it, you understand, trying to get back in good standing, had gotten in trouble about something, told Clark Woodruff
about this. And Chloe was, of course, killed then. Yeah. So she is said, her ghost is said to haunt that plantation, which can go. I looked up the prices. I don't know if you can stay there, but like the hotels around there are like $135 right now. Weird. Mm-hmm. But she is said to haunt the land around there. There's been several accounts of people taking pictures going to see the plantation. Going, why would you visit a plantation? I don't know. But people have gone and they've taken pictures, and there's been two instances of a picture, and she's like right between two houses. You can see a shadow of a girl right between two houses. There's another picture of two people standing behind or standing in front of a house that's on the land, in front of the main house, I believe. And in the back, there's, you know, you can see the windows on the house. In the reflection, if you zoom in, you can see her standing there. You can see her face in the reflection of the windows. It's really creepy. I would say look it up if you want to see it.
We'll put it on the blog.
Yeah, I'll send you those. But not only is Chloe I believe Chloe is the most historically noted ghost haunting the Myrtles plantation, but there's also apparently Sarah Woodruff and her children are trapped in a mirror. Their ghosts, their spirits are trapped in a mirror in the plantation as well. So it somehow trapped their spirits there. People have seen, they tried to cover most of the mirrors in the house, but apparently they forgot that one, and it said that their spirits were trapped in this one particular mirror that didn't get covered for some reason.
Okay, so I guess covering the mirrors when they died, because that's what people used to do, or think, some people still do.
Yeah, some people still do that. I think that is sort of a traditional thing of like, and it may be because I've never looked into why that is, but it may be have to do with a with souls being trapped in there.
Practicing Jewish people cover mirrors.
I hadn't
heard during
that.
Shiva.
Oh, okay.
Like while they're sitting Shiva, they tend to cover mirrors, I think.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm gonna look it up. Oh, well, this says, during Shiva, the seven-day ritual of mourning after a death, mirrors are often covered for two reasons. They eliminate any chance of distracting a mourner from concentrating on his deceased friend or family member.
Mm.
That's one. So, like, you're not going to be able to, like, that's have your vanity moment.
I was going to say, that's pretty narcissistic.
Well, like, you're like, oh, you know, listen, we all know there's some people who will show up to any event just so that other people can look at them.
I thought you were going to say that there were some people who love to like watch themselves cry in the mirror.
There are also those people as well.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah. But there also may be some historic belief that during Shiva, evil spirits may attach themselves to reflections in mirror.
Mm. Yes. And
this is from some random news website, so take that with a grain of salt.
And what they say is that Sarah Woodruff and her children, when you go in there, which I believe you can take tours, they leave like handprints. You'll see handprints appear and then like disappear in the mirrors, little tiny handprints of the kids in this one particular mirror, the only mirror in the house apparently that didn't get covered. There's also tellings of a Native American girl who, no name for her, but she's also said to haunt the Myrtles plantation because, as I said, it was on an Indian burial ground. Several young girls haunting this particular plantation. There's another girl that was treated with voodoo, but died, I think, somewhere near the mansion. And she also has been said to appear from time to time. And this is like, there's several different like stories of other ghosts that, you know, as they do, slam doors, appear, hear them crawling. But what I find the most interesting is, like, the backstory of, like, it feels like a haunting. Sometimes hauntings are warranted. And I think that's why I wanted this story. I feel like we've told stories about hauntings where it's like, it feels like they're just kind of, not that, you know, that they weren't, they shouldn't have been there. Like, this was their house. And, but the nature of this feels so like, of course, this is what happens when you taint things. This is what happens when things are unclean, in a sense. So
yeah, or when evil is done in a place.
Yes. So yeah, it's a pretty standard story of a haunting, and there are, I looked it up, there are several, like, almost all the plantations in Louisiana are haunted, and several hotels and as well. But I guess I wanted to tell this story kind of to go back to, like, I've heard so many things about, like, the things that happen in this country happening because we are all on this, like, poisoned, stolen land. And, like, had you ever considered that and what you thought about that?
Oh, I think that's rather possible. I don't know if I would make it as supernatural as all that.
Okay.
I think we can. I mean, it's going to very much depend on your belief in religious practices, I suppose, or your belief in the supernatural. To say that, I think there could be some validity to it being the fact that we're all living on a burial ground of some sort, and the history of massacre and bloodshed on this land from all the people who have ever lived on it. But I think that's a little reductive to say that the reason why so many bad things happen is because we're on stolen land or land that is, I mean, well, land that has, I mean, that, like, there's just, I mean, it's impossible not to be on some sort of burial ground of some sort.
Sure.
There's just no way to know who's under your feet at any given moment, right? Like, you can assume, oh, there's this building here. Clearly they excavated. They probably moved any bodies they did find.
But I guess what I'm saying is, like, yeah, it is impossible to kind of avoid, like, everything was something else before it was an apartment complex and all these
right,
other
right.
things that it is. But I think it's, like, all these hauntings that we've talked about, and has it been, I feel like we've never gone into, has it been maybe because the dead were not honored, you know, and not only the nature of their deaths, you know, why they were killed or why they died or something like that, but there was no sort of honoring or releasing of those spirits. And so they remain here.
I think that could be one reason. I think there are so many reasons why there's, because if you look at some hauntings where people absolutely were honored, but maybe their spirit still lingers. Mm. So we're looking at things we've talked about before where it's energy that's left over. It could be that particular spirit's unfinished business, you know, kind of the standard trope of having unfinished business as a ghost and you can't leave till it's done.
Right.
Could be some sort of cursed land attribute or the emotional tie to a place that someone had while living or their horrible death tying them, the injustice they faced tying them to a spot. I guess where I was going with that was just, like, I think there's too many reasons to consider to boil it down to, like, we're all on an native indigenous burial ground of some sort, as well as just the reason that these bad things happen being related to the fact that we're on stolen land when really people are just shitty. Like, yeah. I think people are just shitty in general. Even the best of us are often shitty at some point or another. So, yeah, I don't think that's the best excuse for why people are shitty. So, I don't know. I guess, does that, like, answer the question?
No, yes, people are shitty. I mean, I can't, none of us can argue with that. I think it's just, like, I hadn't considered, and I didn't know if we had talked about whether, how the releasing of spirits and how that plays into what's going on where you are. Why so many people feel the need to, like, burn sage and clear their space, because in doing those things, you're honoring them in the best way that you can, in ways that respect the fact that they're there and mm-hmm. and not in this. Because I've always had this weird, we've talked about, like, being able to take tours and, you know, and these things. And I always wonder if that is part of the reason, like, somehow it works very symbiotically, that, like, yeah, it becomes this spectacle. And then these, you know, if we're looking at it literally, these spirits are still around here because there is no honoring them. There's this, like, you know, going to be, like, to see them or to see what they're going to do. It's like an agitation, a continuous agitation. And if that is, not that they have any say, but I've never heard any accounts of people thinking that, you know, that's not right. That's not how you honor who was here and what was, you know, what was done here. Is there a better way to preserve this place?
Yeah, I think that's a possible valid argument about not allowing that spirit to have rest, because we keep finding value in their unrest.
Yeah, I think that that's kind of, I mean, like, when I think about it like that, it sounds like capitalistic and gross to think, like, yeah,
very exploitive,
still be capitalizing on someone long after they're gone, you know?
Right.
So when
I've seen some of, like you mentioned, those ghost hunter shows or paranormal investigation shows where the medium or the spiritual person who is along with them does try to say something to release or suggest to the family that they practice some sort of ritual of release or absolution for the spirit when it doesn't seem malevolent, or even when it does seem malevolent, some form of exorcism.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know who's going into, like, these tourist trap places and doing that and providing that for someone.
I would say that I appreciate the, like, that's never been my, like, bag. Like, I don't want to go to a haunted house, but, but I appreciate when something like that is handled responsibly because we're still here and we can understand we don't truly understand what it means to have been here and then to not be here anymore, to be gone with all these memories and these stories and these things that you did, and you were a person. So the way we honor the people we love who have gone on, you know, even though we didn't know these people, and so, I mean, not to say, you know, like I said, this is a, you know, I don't know that this girl was ever honored or, you know, even remembered correctly in terms of this haunting. I appreciate the care taken in doing what you can to honor the fact that you were here, you existed, and we want to respect whether, if you're still here, if you're still around, if you've got unfinished business, we want to respect that. We want to respect, you know, the reason why you are still around here. Maybe it's because you couldn't escape. You can't get out of here. You can't truly be at rest. So instead of, like, we're just going to go and, you know, see if a cup's going to move or something, we're going to see something in a window or something like that, you know, like, I, you know,
it's always seemed just a tiny bit indecent to me. And I think that's why I've never really like wanted to take any part, especially like being from Louisiana and like understanding the nature of that stuff. But yeah, you know, I mean,
just for a plantation in general, there's no reason to go visit a plantation other than historical
context. People have so many weddings there. Why are you having weddings at plantations?
I don't know.
Yeah. So, it's you know, the recounts, we kind of have to go off of these, you know, just reading about this slave girl who was made to be a mistress was, you know, but in my mind, and talking about her like she's this ghost who shows up and she's like, oh, there she is in the window, and oh, let's go see if we can get her in a picture. And to me, it's like, that was a person who was being violated, you know, that was a human life. Yeah. So she's never going to get any rest. She's never going to get any respect. There's never going to be this, like, there's never going to be this push to, like, okay, but who was this person? Can we find out who they were? Can we honor them and, like, release them to wherever they are? Of course not, because then there wouldn't be this, like, reason for people to go to this plantation and see what they're going to see. So,
right. But also, I think with some hauntings, there's just no knowledge of who that person actually was, though. You just have conjecture. Yeah. So to say, I feel like it's rare to be able to say, this is the specific name of the specific person who we know absolutely is this haunting.
Yeah. It might not have, like, there are some people are saying there isn't even a record of them having this slave, or her name wasn't even Chloe, or, you know, they went so far to say as they didn't have any slaves. Sure. But see how they try to clean that up.
Right.
Wikipedia hundreds of years after, when they didn't even know that was going to be a thing. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's about more so than going into spaces and looking to see, like, not to go completely against our podcast, because we love the supernatural, but I think, like, more so than going to these places and looking to see something, like I said, move or some sort of haunting, I appreciate people going into spaces and trying to clear them and trying to let them know, like, if you're here, that's okay. You know, it's, I'm not here to agitate you. I'm not here to be rattled by you or disturb your presence. And in fact, if there's something I can do to let you know, like, it's okay for you to go, then I don't know. I appreciate that a little bit more.
I understand. No, it sounds like you just want to put us out of business. A little bit. That's fine. First, you were trying to kill me.
Hey, listen. Hey.
Now you just want to.
The supernatural is not just about hauntings, you know? Mm-hmm. When are we going to get when are we going to get a alien story?
The story this week was your choice.
I'm just talking about, you know, our future guest. Think about some alien stories. Think about talking about Nessie, the Loch Ness monster. You know, we don't hear enough about her anymore. So, yeah.
Oh, but that was there any more about the Myrtle Plantation?
It's really just it's several hauntings from several people who were said to have died near there or died there. Like, a guy was supposedly shot on the front steps, and then when you walk in, you can kind of hear the stairs creak, like somebody keeps walking or crawling up the stairs because that guy was shot on the front steps of the mansion. And like I said, there's a Native American girl who's been reported to haunt it as well.
the blood of the Union soldiers that were looking for supplies in there during the Civil War is supposed to be supposedly still on one of the doors, smeared down the door. So, yeah, it just sounds like a place that, you know, there's no sort of getting out of there is what it seems like.
Yeah.
So it feels like a place where souls seem to be trapped, and I would be interested in hearing more about what mediums and people who are looking into that have, because I don't feel like I've heard a lot of stories about like plantations and all the souls that could potentially be trapped in those places and weren't right. released or honored or remembered or, you know, so. Yeah, that's the story of the Myrtles Plantation. And Clark and Sarah Woodruff and Chloe.
All right, then. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
For our story this week.
Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it.
I was kind of all over the place. I was really more telling you about what happened, and then I kind of went into, like, my feelings about it. But I feel like this is a safe space to talk about how we feel about these things and how these things affect us. Because it truly was kind of a sad story to me. Like I feel like people have written about this in this way that it should register in this like spooky, oh, that's spooky kind of thing. But for me, when I read that stuff, it's kind of like, but that's really sad. And that's really sad that a spirit that went through all of that shit in life is trapped there. And you're just trying to get a picture of them right now. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's something to consider and think about. And that's why, you know, I try to be, or we try to be as respectful, I guess, as possible.
Responsible.
When talking about, yeah, responsible with when how we speak about the dead.
And it's like you said, to reference the what's the podcast you said, Small Town Murder?
Yeah.
Trying to be, you know, because these things happened and we're going to talk about them. And of course, there has to be like an entertainment factor because, you know,
right.
we're podcasters. But you want to honor the fact that these were real occurrences, these, you know, and or these were real people, possibly. And especially on a podcast like that, like, and so you got to respect the fact that, you know, a life was lost or a life was in it tragically.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, I think we've done a pretty good job. Would you say at being?
I think so. Yeah. I try. Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you for our story this evening, dear Sydney.
You're welcome. I hope it wasn't like a bummer to you guys. I know you know, there's already a lot going on. But, you know, honor the alive and honor the dead. That's all I can say, you know, we've lost a lot of people this year, and I think so much about like what are they going to do for those people. Are, you know, that's a whole bunch of people who we don't know, who this thing came out of nowhere and just took them. And so there's got to be some kind of reverence, there's got to be some kind of honoring for this time for those people. So, and you know, yeah, just cherish people in their life, cherish them in their death too.
Very well said. Well, on that note, we'll wrap it up for this evening. Sydney, where would you like the people to find you on the internet?
Oh, God, I'm going off the grid, guys. So if you want to find me, just joking. I am on Instagram. I'm not really posting on my work page, so I'll just leave that out. But at Syd, S-Y-D underscore the letter N underscore play, P-L-A-Y. And that's Twitter and Instagram.
Very nice. And you can find me at the Camille Monet on all social media platforms except for TikTok because I'm an old.
You know what? Understand how that works. I downloaded it again. Okay, guys, got it a second time. It's not so bad. It's not as good as Vine. If you guys were around, you remember Vine. It's not as good. And these kids on TikTok, they're not gonna have that like that career that the Vine people got. You know, that took some. Vine took talent. I just feel that way. But it's okay, you know, the kids are just having fun and good for them.
Well, sure. Good for them.
Camille, you don't want to get a TikTok and we could be doing 15-second clips for booze?
The podcast actually does have a TikTok. So it does. So you can find Boozed Pod on TikTok at Boozed Pod. I'm pretty sure that's the name. I think there's one clip on there. So if you want to find our audio, I'll upload some other audio at some point. I just haven't gotten around. I haven't had the energy to do it to TikTok, to upload audio to TikTok. But eventually I'll put some more audio up there if people want to do their little mimicky videos. I don't know. There's no boozed dance to go along. I can't teach you how to WAP. I can't do it myself.
Wait a minute. Teach you how to WAP?
The WAP dance.
The WAP challenge?
Whatever. Again, I don't have the energy for these things. But anyway, again, you can check out the podcast at Boozed Pod on all social media. We have a website now at boozedpod.com. If you would be so kind as to share the podcast with a friend or a family member, or if you don't like our show, share it with an enemy. Yeah. That's okay. We just need the downloads. Feel free to give us a review on Apple Podcast. And take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Wear a goddamn mask.
Mm-hmm. Please.
And don't forget, get boozed.
Get boozed.
Bye-bye. You're not going to say bye?
Oh, bye.
Perfect.
Thank you for listening to Boozed. Our theme was composed by Vincent Parrish. Sound production is done by Sydney Johnson. You can find us on social media at Boozed Pod. That's B-O-O-S-E-D Pod. If you would like to support the show, please go to patreon.com/boozedpod to make a contribution. Thank you for listening. And don't forget, get boozed.